Before we go into the place of the world, since the beginning of this week, actually, there's this song that was impressed in my spirit, and I've been singing that song. Every time I'm there now, the song is just always popping up in my spirit, and it is says Jesus, keep me near the cross, and I would like us to sing that song together, and then we go into the place of the world. I don't know if you know that song. Yeah. It says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain.
Thank you.
Help me to trust in you. Help me to walk with you. That which you have done since the foundation of the world. Help us to fix our gaze on the cross, O Lord. Help us to remain with you. Help us to continually lift our eyes unto the hills, because that is where our help comes from. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And we say you should take over this meeting, O God. We don't want to stand in your way of anything. Do as you wish with us, O God. Do as you wish with us in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive insight into your word. We receive understanding. We receive strength. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you are full of the Spirit of God, say amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Alright, alright. Before we go into the world, we have a letter from our Father. And I'd just like us to read it. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. As we're in the place of worship, the Lord, you know, sent this letter to the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation 3. From, where is that again? Yeah. From verse 7. We read from verse 7 to 13, I think. Yeah. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shut it. And shut it, and no man open it. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which says they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to overcome, and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation." Say amen.
Amen.
And from which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Says he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Amen.
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 That is the letter actually that the Lord, you know, gave to his church. And he said he has given us the key of David. And said he has set before us an open door. We should fear no longer, because the Lord is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. By the grace of God, we'll come to the conclusion of, you know, this, the burden we've been sharing together for 2 Sundays now. And we thank God for the strength and the, you know, grace that the Lord has been giving to us to look into his word and to see what we all do at this point in time. So before we go, let's just, you know, take a quick revision of what we discussed last week. And by the grace of God, the Lord help us to start looking at the life of Jesus Christ as the begotten Son of the Father. And we saw what, you know, the pattern in which Christ lived for joint heirs with him and for sons that are coming along also. The pattern which we ought to follow in regards to the relationship between believers being sons and the Father. And we're able to see that it is God's plan that sons do the will of God. We're able to see from different places of the scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ showed us what we ought to do as sons in this time, as sons of God. And from that standpoint, we'll continue in that light, looking at the pattern in which Christ has laid down for us, pattern in which Christ expects us to follow in regards to this estate that the Lord wants us to dwell and remain in. Amen. As I made mention of something last week, I said that when we read Psalm 23, I said the anointing of the head is a call to sonship. So I remember I didn't actually talk much on that, but we'll do justice to that now. Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 8. This is just to, you know, to explain why Sam said, he anointed my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Why it is a call to sonship. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. Just the verse 14. It says, for as many. Can we read it together, please? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what?
They are sons of God.
For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, when you look at the word led by the Son, it's not just the word is not just as simple as that. When the Bible says led by the Spirit of God, it means people who have a rule in which people in which the Holy Spirit has taken hold of. That is what the word led means. And it says, for as many
that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And before a man can be led by the Spirit of God, he must have gotten the impartation of the Spirit, which is the anointing of the head. So before we can come to the estate of I'm being led by the Spirit, the Lord has poured His Spirit upon us. And there's even an overflow. The overflow talks that immediately we receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit, we have no, you know, we have no right over ourselves again. The Holy Spirit has taken a total charge and control of our being and of our living. And that is why we can be led by the Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth where it wishes, where it wants to go, and we don't know where it's coming from. He says, so is the same with those who are born of the Spirit. That means we have no right in regards to the Holy Spirit, in regards to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. We are surrendered already. We have lost our guide to the Holy Spirit to take over us. So when David says he anointed my head with oil, it means I have released myself to be taken hold by the Holy Spirit and to lead me. That is what the Lord wants for us. As people are coming into this estate, the estate of being shepherd, the estate of being a son, there are people who have subjected themselves to the dealings of the Spirit. You know, you don't even, you go like, people are saying, this guy is weird. No, he's not weird. He's just been unnerved by the Spirit. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Only those people who have released themselves to the works of the Holy Spirit have the right to call themselves sons of God. If the Spirit of God does not have full charge over our life, you don't call yourself a son of God. Amen. And as we said last week, I said the Lord make us to see that the life of Christ and the life of a believer is a mirror life of the life in which Christ lived. And that is why we are called joint heirs with Christ. We are called brethren together. And Jesus confirmed it. He said, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? He said, those that do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is for us to subject ourselves to the works of the Spirit. May the Lord grant us grace.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, looking at the Christ, you know, pattern of a father-son relationship that Christ has laid with us, laid to us, as you know, given to us. We'll continue from where we stopped last week, and we'll see more other patterns in which the Lord wants for us as believers to follow. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to John 15. From verse 10. Okay, let me read from verse 9. He said, Jesus answered unto him and said, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Not this Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how said thou then show us the Father. Verse 10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?
Is that 16 or
14? Oh, sorry, that's 14. Sorry, I'm very, very sorry. Amen.
Amen.
John 15, verse 10. Oh, sorry, it's actually 15. I'm sorry. Sorry. Wow. It will mix up somewhere. Okay, 15. From verse 10. Let me start from now. He said, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. He said, if ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. We can see the instruction Christ gave to us there. Sons, people who are to come into this estate of sons are people who are ready and willing to obey the Father's commandment. Jesus Christ said, he said, if ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. When you look at it from a natural standpoint, a son that is always doing, that is always obeying his parents, will be loved by the parents. But look at the rebellious child. And the Lord expects us as people who will come into this estate as sons, that we obey the Father's commandment, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's interesting or it's not, whether it makes sense or it does not make sense. We have to obey the Father's commandment. We have to obey the instruction of the Lord. We have to obey the Father's instruction. The Lord does not want rebellious children. The Lord does not want, children who the Lord will say, do this, and they will do another thing. The Lord wants people who will walk with him and abide in his love, who will obey his commandment to the fullest. He said, we are ready to avenge all disobedience when our obedience is what is complete. To come into this estate, we have to be obedient. The spirit of humility must take us over. We must humble ourselves, because that is where we can be able to follow that which the Lord has instructed us. This is not to look at, this is not to use logic to do the things of God. This is command from above. I do what my Father asked me to do. If the Lord has not instructed us, don't let us do it. The Lord wants sons who will obey him, who will obey him to the fullest. Let's see another thing that Christ did in regards to pattern in which the son needs to follow people who are going to come into this estate. In John 16, just one chapter after, from verse 32. He says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Can you see that? The pattern God wants us, Christ wants us to follow, is this pattern of being conscious of the Father. Christ said, oh, the hour is come that you will be scattered. You know, he was talking to his disciples, and you shall leave me alone. But he said something. He said, I am not alone. The Father is with me. Brethren, it's important that we have this consciousness of the Father with us. When we have the consciousness of the Father with us, fear cannot stand. When we are conscious that the Father is with us, we can't be afraid.
Hallelujah.
When we are conscious that the Father is with us, why are we going to worry? He says, the young lion suffereth lack and go hungry. He said, but those who trust in God will not suffer anything good. Those who are conscious of the... Oh, those whose consciousness is always about the Father.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
When you dream, you slept and you dreamed that someone shot you 5 times. And you wake up to be scared. You are not conscious of the Father. Because no man can shoot you. If he shoots you, he wants to put his hand into the lion's mouth.
Yes,
sir. He won't even think about it.
That's right.
That's why we need to have the consciousness of the Father. Let our consciousness, let it be, the Father is with me. Be conscious of the presence of God. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God can say that to you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you, then why should you be afraid? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There's a song that says, I'm not alone, I'm not alone. In all my journey, Jesus is with me. I am not alone. That's the consciousness of the Father. People who come into this essence must be conscious, must be aware. It's lack of consciousness. You know, when we are not conscious of the Father, that is when different thoughts, you know, different things just occupy our mind. And then we are being swept like a wave, you know, sweeping us here and there. 2 hours, 3 hours, we are still in that realm, you know. 4 hours, until somebody call you before you snap out and say, hey, where am I? No. Once the consciousness of the Father is there,
hallelujah.
No other thoughts, no other mindset, no other thinking, no other imagination will be able to creep in. Because other imaginations that come, they lift themselves above God. But once a son is conscious of the presence of the Father, you can walk boldly. You can speak boldly. You can address things. We have to be conscious of the Father. Be conscious of the Father. Look at the life of Jesus. Throughout the life of Jesus, just study the life. The Father. He said it to the point that they want to kill him. They say, who is you and this your Father? This Father you are saying. Because he was conscious of the Father. We saw that since age 12, the consciousness of the Father has been in him. When the early caretakers came and said, oh, son, we have been looking for you. He said, look, don't you know I should be doing my Father's business? He was conscious of the Father. We have to be conscious of the Father. You should allow this mind to be in us as it is in Christ. And having seen that Christ has showed us this pattern, you know, as sons. He showed us what it means to be a shepherd. When we look at it from Psalm 23, it showed us what it means to be a son, what it means to have that relationship with God. What is our own what should we do as believers, as joint heirs with Christ? What is expected of us? Seeing the lifestyle that Christ lived, seeing the patterns that Christ gave to us, seeing the works that Christ gave to us. What should we do? Let's see. Is it John? Someone help me with that scripture that says, greater works than these ye shall do. Thank you. Can you see what Jesus said? He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. The first thing that we ought to do, now this is looking from the believer's perspective of what it means to come into this estate of being shepherds and this estate of being sons. The first thing that we need to have in the front of our mind is that we are being called into that estate. That is the first thing we need to settle down in our mind, in our thought, in our thinking, that the Lord has called me to come into this estate of a shepherd and of a son. If we have that settled in our mind, the rest is as simple as it is. But if it's not settled in our mind, we will not be able to do that which Christ has showed us. We will not be able to follow Christ. Oh, I tell you, we will not be able to follow those patterns in which Christ has laid down for us. So let us settle it in our mind that we are all caught into this estate. Nobody, you know, some people say, let me just stay where I am. I'm okay with you. No. If you're okay, God is not okay with where you are. He wants you to come. Come up here. And I will show you things. Don't be okay with your estate, you know. Let me just go to church. Pray. If by God's grace they call me to pray, I will pray. No. Let us settle the matter that we are all called into this estate. He said, greater works than I have done, you shall do. So you can see that there's much workload for us. I remember one time our brother was, you know, talking to us, we shall declare his generation, and was opening to the scriptures that Jesus Christ came and the work he did stopped at a point, but there are sons who follow after to complete that work. And you are that person. I am that person. So we have to settle it in our hearts that we are all called by God into this estate. And once we are called, what do we need to do? Follow that which Christ has laid down. There are people in want. There are people in need that the Lord is expecting you to feed them. People are malnourished spiritually, and you have that food. The Lord expects you to step up into that estate and feed the people. Just as Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack. I will not lack in bread. I will not lack in spiritual food. The Lord is looking for shepherds who will lead people into the living waters. Who will lead them into the living waters. People are thirsty. The Lord is looking for sons who will set the standard, who will teach the people to walk in righteousness and holiness. Shepherd who will show the people the way, who will show them what it means to have a relationship with God. The Lord is looking for shepherds and sons who will show the people what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. Romans 8:19 says, the earnest expectation of the creature awaited the manifestations of the sons of God. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for me. What are we doing? We need to rise up. We need to rise up and show the people what it means to serve God. What it means to walk with God, just as Christ has showed us. The Lord is looking for people who will care for his flock. There are men in need, men searching for God, men, you know, looking here and there just to have peace of mind, to have rest. Men who are looking for the still waters. They are looking for green pastures in God, but they can't find. They are taking wrong step. The shepherd is here. But what are we doing? Are we rising up to the challenge? Are we rising up to the task? Are we doing the will of the Father? Or we are there gallivanting, you know, doing all sorts of things. It is time to arise into this estate. It is time to enter into this estate and execute the will of God. Let's see a conversation between Peter and Jesus and what it means and what it takes, how heavy this is. This is in the heart of the Father, that his sons, believers, like me, like you, will rise up and enter into this estate. John 21. You know, most of the time, this picture of Peter is a picture of believers. We know we have a task in hand, but we are doing something else. We are going fishing, you know, going to do other things. Let me just read from the first three verses and then we'll jump to the other verses. You know, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And look at what Peter said. Just a believer like me and you. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. You see, when we go out of the will of God, we are wasting our time. We can't achieve nothing. These disciples, they had a task at hand. But look at what they did. They went back to their old estate, you know, to go and catch fish. When Peter did not remember that Jesus told him, you'll be a fisher of men. He didn't remember at that time. If he was conscious of it, he would not, the idea of let's go and fish would not even come to his mind. He went back to his trading. Look, Jesus, you know, has gone. I want to go and fish. Who's coming with me? And Nathanael followed. You know, Thomas followed. Sons of Zebedee followed. That's not the pattern that Christ has laid for us. Now let's see what Jesus did. Because he's heavy in the heart of the Father. Because the Father, you know, wants us to come into this estate. Jesus had to reappear to him again and said, come. This guy, you need to wake up. Let's start from verse 12. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples thus asked him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Three times. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon, now he had to face, after eating, he fed them and said, okay, Peter, let's talk business. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Love, do you love me more than your ambitions? Do you love me more than what you aim to become? Do you love me more than the dreams, you want? You want to have a mansion, you want to have, it's good. But do you love God more than those things? So Peter has to answer the question here. Then Peter said, he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. Again, he said to him, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter replied, said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Another time, he said unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Then Peter was grieved. See somebody they are calling to order and is angry. He was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Then look at what Jesus confirming to you that to come into this estate, we have to fully give ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou guided thyself, and thou walkest with thou, where you want to go. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall guide thee, and carry thee, whither thou wouldest not. That talks about the Holy Spirit, subjecting ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. A man who the Holy Spirit is not in total control of can do anything. The Holy Spirit might say, don't fast today. Don't fast, fast today. You say, no, I'm not fasting. And then you just, eat burger, eat everything. That's because, he has, he just gave half, just portion of his being to the Holy Spirit. Say, you take this, let me handle the rest. But no. That is not what is expected of us. He said, when you are young, you can go anywhere you like. But a time will come when you are old, you have to stretch and, my son, carry me, lead me here. My son, bring my clothes for me. That is we, relying on the Holy Spirit to push us, to lead us where we want to go. The business of the Father is paramount, There are a lot of things that are going on in this world, deception here and there, so many things. But the Lord needs people who will set things in order. Amen. Who will set the standard. There's one that is currently, that everybody is everywhere. What's his name? What's this guy's name? The guy that is doing church service. Kanye. That guy needs discipleship. He needs thorough one, serious one. And people are so caught up in this thing that some people are more worried about Kanye West's relationship with God than their own relationship with God. Sincerely speaking, you see. That guy does not understand what it means to be saved.
Is he already preaching?
Preaching? He's the head over his church service. It's not.
No,
it's not.
But he's a big part of that.
Kanye is not the body, but I just.
I think we can actually pray for him.
Yeah.
So this is it. Let me just, so that we can move on from here. If this man's experience is genuine, we've always known that Pentecost has a very bad attitude of putting so much emphasis on somebody who just came to the knowledge of the truth, instead of that person being taught the rudiments and the fundamental principle of working with God. They take them out and begin to showcase them as if, you know, something fantastic has happened. Whatever happened to Kanye West is what happens to all humanity that comes to the knowledge of the truth. So we can begin to pray that he will not fall victim and be a prey of that particular order of things. The same Lord that drew him to himself can also begin to quicken his heart to the place of the secret place.
Yes.
We owe him that much as a brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's move on. So, as I was saying, the Lord needs people who will, you know, set the standard. Just as Christ Jesus did. He laid down the standard. The disciples followed after. Men, you know, that have worked with God, have worked on this, and have set the standard of relationship with God. And the Lord expects people to rise and enter into that estate too. So there's no time for, you know, for frivolity. It's no time to waste. We need to enter into this as quickly as possible. We need to release ourselves. We need to hold on. Cling to the cross. Set our eyes on Christ. Follow the pattern in which he has laid. We need to totally release ourselves. First Peter chapter 5. Amen. Before then, let's see Acts 20. Let's see something in Acts 20. And this is just to show us the mindset the Lord will, you know, want us to have. Acts 20 from verse 24. I'm just going to read to... you know, I think 28 or 29. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither can't I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take it therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. The Lord has made us watchmen over the earth. And it's our responsibility to stand in that position. Shepherds are watchmen. If you look Ezekiel 33, it says, if the shepherd fails, if the watchman fails to warn the people of the danger ahead, the blood will be required in the hand of the watchman. And so there are people that are walking in the path of destruction, and we are seeing them there. We should not keep quiet. We should sound the alarm. Ezekiel 44 also said, he said, the priests of God, these are people who will teach the people of God the difference between profane and holy things. They will judge. God has set them as judges. That's it. Ezekiel 44. This is just to look at what the Lord requires of us, what we need to do. Because there's time no longer. God is looking for people who will stand in the gap. Ezekiel 44. This is to the priests, the Levites. Verse 23, he said, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. He says, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. In controversies, in chaos, when the world, you know, is going, or people are confused, people don't know what to do. The Lord is looking for people who will stand and show that, look, there's no need to be confused. This is what the Lord wants us to do at this point. Men like Issachar who had the understanding of the time, the Lord wants them to rise and to amnest the people of God, to feed the flock. We need to rise up into this estate, enter into this estate, and begin to operate. The Lord has fed us, you know, as he has deposited a lot, he has invested a lot in us. It's time to start showing those investments, showing the Lord that those investments were worthy to be, you know, invested in us. We can't afford to waste the investment of God upon our lives. All these things we are not learning for learning's sake. We are not learning just, you know, just to learn or just to, you know, to know. No. The Lord is revealing himself unto you, not just to just, you know, just to reveal himself. It's not play, it's not childish. This is serious business. So what's the moral lesson of all these stories we've been seeing? All these things we'll be talking about. 1 Peter chapter 5. In this scripture, there are two, you know, the scripture shows that there are two categories of people the Lord is talking to. But I want us to look at this scripture. When we read the first category, let's look at it as if God is talking to everybody. And when we look at the second category, let's look at it as if God is also talking to everybody. So there's no segregation, this word is for this set of people. It's for everybody. First Peter, chapter 5. He said, the elders which are among you are exhorted. Whom also I'm an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ Jesus, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you. This is the call to shepherds. God has called everyone to be a shepherd. Feed the flocks of God which is among you, taking over sight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for fielding lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And that is what Christ did. He set an example for us. Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. There's an example. He's laying down of the example. This is to everybody. He says, so, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away. After that encounter in John 21, Peter realized his mind was opened. And that's why he could still write it there like, look, the Lord has made you overseers over his flock. And it is necessary that we feed the flock of God. Not doing it by God, if I don't do it now, they'll say, do it willingly. Not for a personal gain. Not to rob people as some people are doing today. You know? Not to milk people of their resources. He said we should do it with a ready mind. A ready mind is a mind that is not looking for the approval of men. It's a mind that is looking for God's approval. Then he continues. He said, likewise, ye younger, this is still to everybody, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye all be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, and give grace to be humble. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Having seen all this, what is our conduct in the house of God? Is to treat each other with respect. The Lord expects us to respect the grace of God upon every one of us, each and every one of us. If your grace is manifested in 10 places, it's still grace. If somebody's grace is manifested in one, it's still grace. God is not looking at you the same thing. No difference. Treat each other with respect and humility. People should not be, you know, this is not time for people to think, you know, you are like nothing in front of them. Because God raised, the Bible said, God what? He giveth grace to the humble and resisted the proud. And some people, you know, they want to be correcting, but they don't want to be corrected. If they not correct them, they keep manners. They don't greet the person that correct them. What's that? But you want to be bossing people around, doing all these things. Submit yourself. Let's treat each other with respect. Look at the life of the disciples and Christ Jesus. You think Jesus did not treat his disciples with respect? He treated them with respect and humility. To the extent that when they came to arrest Jesus, they did not know. From the disciples, there, Judas had to say, it's the person I kiss. Listen, it's the person I kiss. And that is the way it should be. Let's treat each other with respect. Honor the grace of God upon anybody, whether it be the brother or the sister. Everyone has the hand of God resting on them. Each and every one of us has the hand of God resting on us. So we can't look down anybody. See, let me say something. Regard this humility. Look, if we have a proud look, if you like, summarize all the scripture in two sentences or in one, the picture people will be seeing is that proud look. But if you are humble, just quote John 3:16. People will say, It's not because they saw any mystery there. It's because of what they see, that this guy is humble. You should treat each other with respect. So, you know, don't talk anyhow to anybody. Don't bash anybody, you know. You PC somebody. Say, PC him with what? I finish him with what? No. Don't finish somebody with what? when there's a place for correction, correct in humility. Correct with the wisdom of God. And that's when we can make impact in ministry. That's when our ministry can be effective. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But by the great, but the God of all grace, amen, who have called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish you, strengthen you and settle you. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That is the admonition for us, brethren. That is what the Lord expects of us. Be sober, be vigilant. This is time to be very sensitive. This is time for our eyes to be wide open. Now, I'm not talking about the physical eye now. I'm talking about the spiritual eye. Let our ears be sensitive. Let it be sharp. Quick to hear. Don't let us fall asleep. This is time to snap out from that slumber and awake. For the creatures are waiting. They are waiting. They are waiting for the sons of God to rise. They are waiting for the sons of God to take their place, to take their position, to execute the will of God, to make known the kingdom of God, to establish the standard of God, to lay down examples, to shepherd people to walk in holiness and righteousness, to show the people what it means to serve God, what it means to have a relationship with the Father, what it means, you know, to not to just follow religion, not just to be religious. These are sons with power, sons with insight, with might. Sons who are strengthened, men of valor, valiant men. Men who are not given to sleep nor slumber. Men who are ready. Men who have guided themselves with the armor and are ready to execute. Men in which God called once, they hear twice. That is what God expects of us. That is the estate God wants us to be. A lot of things are going on in this world. Look, see, the darkness is getting grosser and grosser day by day. But there are lights. Lights. Are you shining? Shine the light. Things are getting bitter and bitter day by day. Where are the salt? Have they lost their savor? Sweetening the things. When we enter an atmosphere, the atmosphere is dense and heavy. Enter there, let it become light.
Yes.
Mm. You know, don't enter a place and say, the atmosphere is dense, and then you are caught up in the dense density of the atmosphere, and you are not doing anything. When we enter territories, let them know that, oh, somebody has come.
That's right.
Go there, scatter their place, come out. We need to awake. We need to awake. Awake out of slumber. God has light us up. We have the light of God in us. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. As sons, we have to show forth the glory of God. We have to show it forth. We can't hide it. We have to make it known. When Jesus was telling us we are the light of the world, he was not just saying it just casually. He was saying it because he knows that that's what we are. And he wants us to shine. Shine as light. Shine. In our classes, shine. Let our lecturers see that this guy is light. In our place of work, let us shine. That is when they can, the head can see that actually, you know, I need to. They will call you one day and say, please come and show us. Well, how should we do it? May the Lord help us.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Amen.
And grant us grace. Grant us enablement. May we arise and enter into this estate that God has called us onto. Never will we go back to our old estates. Those estates of fear, estate of cowardice, estate of you know, of laxity, estate of being lethargic. May we be elevated.
Amen.
Let there be an awakening in our spirit, in our souls, in our body. We receive enablement. May the Lord establish us.
Amen.
Lord, stretch forth your hand upon us, O God. And fill us. Fill us with your might, with your strength, with your power. You know that you alone is the sole owner of our lives. Take over us completely.
Amen.
Let us have nothing in ourselves, oh God. Take hold of us. Take us by the locks of our head and use us. Draw us closer unto you, oh God, that we might see you. Continually reveal yourself unto us. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Deal with our mind. Deal with mindset that does not glorify you. Break our fallow ground. Wet us, O God. Plant your seed in us. Plant your seed in us that we might bear forth fruit. Plant us by the rivers of water that we might bring forth fruit in our seasons. Help us not to be fruitless, O God. Let your investment upon our lives not be wasted.
In the name of Jesus.
Help us to make use of your investment upon our lives, God.
Amen.
Father, teach us to walk with you. Teach us to hold on unto you. Help us to walk in that ancient path. Help us to earnestly contend for this faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Strengthen our feeble mind. Grant us strength in the inner man. Grant us consistency in our work with you. Help us to be upright. We refuse to yield ourselves to the works of the enemy, but we yield ourselves to God. We surrender ourselves to God. We lay everything, oh God, before you. And nest us for yourself, oh God. Just as you have made us voice in this land, let our voice be heard. Just like in those days, he said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let our voice be heard in this land.
Amen.
Let our voice be heard in Canada.
Amen.
Let our voice be heard in North America.
Amen.
Let our voices be heard in all the earth.
Amen.
Let from among us men arise. Men that will move the hand of God.
Amen.
Men that will shake nations.
Amen.
Men that will rule nations with the rod of iron.
Amen.
Let overcomers come out from our midst, oh God.
Amen.
Let men who will thunder the word of the Lord in all generations. Let generations hear the voice of God through us.
In the name of Jesus.
Let, O God, that through us nations will come to the knowledge of Christ. He said, this little one shall become a thousand. And the Lord will do it, will fulfill it in his time.
Amen.
Let our voice be as that of many waters. And let nations hear. Let not hear. Let the east hear. Let the west hear. Let the south hear.
Amen.
We are right. We are right.
Amen.
We are right.
Amen.
We are awake. We enter into this estate.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.